Take our Bibles this morning, open up to Luke chapter number 1, Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1, being the Christmas, Sunday before Christmas, we're going to have a next couple services this evening, and also on Tuesday, on Christmas Eve, we're going to have some different Christmas messages. This morning we looked at, in Sunday school class, about making right choices this Christmas season. We looked at the story of Mary. We talked about how Mary was willing to trust the Lord, and from trust comes submission. And we also talked about how Mary chose to rejoice. She had much that she could have complained about, but she chose to rejoice. We also talked about how Mary chose to meditate or chose to ponder on the things of how God was working in her life. And those are three wise choices we can make this Christmas season. This morning's message is entitled, What is Christmas Spirit? What is Christmas Spirit? I don't know about you, but over the years I've heard the phrase Christmas Spirit, or I've heard people say we need to have more Christmas Spirit, or if they see someone who seems a little bit grumpy, they says, well, they need some more Christmas Spirit. Or those that may be a little bit exuberant or a little bit overly cheerful, they have a little too much Christmas spirit. So even this Christmas season, I've heard people talk about the spirit of Christmas. And you know me, when I hear a certain term, I become analytical towards it and think about it. And the Lord spoke to my heart about bringing a message that talks about what true Christmas spirit is. And you might say, Christmas spirit means a lot of things to a lot of different people. To Scrooge, it means it's a ghost. To the liquor industry, Christmas spirit comes in a bottle. Other people feel like Christmas spirit is the fact that their relatives that do not get along, for one day of the year, they will call a truce and not fight with one another. That's what Christmas spirit is to some people. I suppose some people think Christmas spirit is expressed in a card that conveys sentiment of well-being. I do like Christmas cards, especially those that spend some time where the person just demonstrates how much they appreciate the other person. For some people, the Christmas spirit is a happy attitude that's found in maybe fellowships or friends, or even while they may party during the Christmas season while devouring, consuming millions of turkeys and hams. But, you know, the Christmas spirit isn't that way for everybody. Christmas spirit sometimes is profound sadness. For some individuals, it's an increased depression. Because of all the things that are wrong in their lives, they measure it to the joyous time of what many other people have during this Christmas season. You know, a toy store full of toys is a welcome sight to a child, but a parent that does not have any money, it becomes a sight of sadness. And what people put as Christmas spirit, they talk about a magic that happens at Christmas. They even introduce characters like Santa Claus and elves and Rudolph and things like that. And they interpret things as being a Christmas spirit, but if we really truly are going to look what Christmas spirit is about, I think we need to return to the Bible. Go back to that first Christmas. See what the spirit of the people was, and that's what true Christmas spirit is. Many times Christmas spirit is just being thankful for some basic things. And obviously, probably most people would say Christmas spirit is in the giving of gifts. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to be a Scrooge. I don't want to rain on anybody's parade. But I also do want us to be a Christ-centered church and have a Christ-centered Christmas, because that's the purpose of Christmas, is to celebrate not only the fact that Jesus Christ came, but why he came. It's not just about a babe lying in a manger. There's so much more than that. It's about the reason what he came, where he was and where he came, and the purpose why he came. So we're going to look at the Bible this morning, and we're going to look at some different things, and I hope that as we get to these passages of scriptures, and I'm not going to even tell you what I consider the spirit of Christmas is, until we read these passages of scriptures and look at some of the reactions of some of the characters we find in the Christmas story. And then, how this spirit of Christmas will also demonstrate into another spirit of Christmas. Let's go ahead and look here. First, in Luke chapter number 1, we do not have the time to go into long passages of scriptures when we look at these reactions, but I think you will understand and get the point what the true spirit of Christmas is. First, in Luke chapter number 1, let's look at verses 41 through 43. Mary, who has just come to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was very, very old, past the childbearing years, but God allowed her and her husband be able to have a child at this point in time, John the Baptist, or she was pregnant at this time. Mary, who now is pregnant with Jesus Christ, comes to visit her and see how Elizabeth reacts. In verse number 41, it says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Not only is it we're looking at that, but let's look here at Mary and her reaction to Elizabeth in verses 46 through 50 in Luke chapter number 1. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaidens. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall be call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. And this mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Also, let's look at Zacharias in Luke chapter number 1. Zacharias now is Elizabeth's husband. In chapter number 1, let's look here in verses 68 through 70. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." Now let's go over to Luke chapter number 2. I want you to see the reaction when it comes to the angels. Luke chapter number 2 and verses 8. We're going to read all the way down to verse number 14, a familiar passage of scripture to many. Luke 2 verse number 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Also, look at the shepherds as they respond. Go down to verse number 20. "And the shepherds went and saw the babe." And then verse number 20 talks about how they returned. "And the shepherds returned. And what were they doing as they were returning? They were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Not only is this these familiar characters in the Bible story of the first Christmas, but there are a couple more a little less familiar characters. Let's look here in Luke chapter number 2. Let's look in verse number 27. Well, and it says, And he came by spirit," and this is talking about Simeon, "to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for them after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, for thou hast prepared before the face of all thy people a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Another character that's Simeon was a priest that was led by the Spirit to come into the temple at that time. Also, a lady named Anna, who was a wonderful part of the Christmas story. Drop down to verse number 38. "And she coming in the instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Now, not only are these different characteristics and their reactions, we also are reminded of the wise men in Matthew chapter number 2 and their reaction to the birth of Christ. Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says, saying, "Where is he that is King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." You go down to verse, and you think about what verse number 11 in Matthew 2 says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Now, we looked at a lot of different characters there. And if we really want to truly get what the spirit of Christmas is about, we should go to the first Christmas and see what the story and how they react and the spirit that they had inside that first Christmas. And I think it's obvious. I'm sure that most of you have picked up on it. Elizabeth and Mary and Zacharias and the angels and the shepherds and Simeon and Anna and the wise men, they basically had one response. And that response is the spirit of Christmas. That response is in one word called worship. Worship. The spirit of Christmas, now you can have your gifts, you can have your presents, you can have your trees, you can have your decorations, you can have all these different things, but if you truly want the spirit of Christmas, you go back to what the Bible says, where the story originated from, and the reaction of each of these characteristics, all these participants in the first Christmas was praise and thanks and blessings and glory to God, and all in one word, that is worship. This year, something that has been true throughout the ages is worship. That's the spirit of Christmas. So when you go around and telling people they need more Christmas cheer or more Christmas spirit, let us remember the Bible story of it. And that is how to worship God this time of year. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you just help us during the service, help us during the message, Lord, to clear our hearts and minds, Lord, bind the devil, bind Satan, Lord, help him, don't let him give free rein here, Lord, help the minds and the hearts of the people to be open to what you would have for them to hear today. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you say, what is the word worship? Simply, worship means that something that you feel is worthy of praise. Now, a lot of people praise lots of different things this time of year for Christmas. But the Bible's telling us and showing us from all these different characteristics, from all these different people, even wicked King Herod, he said to the wise men when he called him privily, he says, "Hey, when you find the child," he says, "tell me where he is so I can go and worship him." Now, he was being a false worshiper. He had no interest in worshiping Jesus, but at least even the wicked, evil man Herod understood what you were supposed to do at Christmas. You were supposed to worship the God child that came. See, when these individuals understood who God was and that God became a man and he was the Messiah, they were excited and they worshiped the babe. Not because he was a babe, but because he was God that became man. And that he was willing to lay down his life as provide salvation, be a sacrifice for all mankind's sins. One preacher puts it this way when describing worship this Christmas season. This then is the supreme attitude of Christmas. This is the spirit of Christmas. And it is the supreme time of worship for Christians as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. This time of all times is a time of worship. Think of a brief description of worship. It is an attitude. It is a spirit. Something on the inside. It is an attitude of the heart that is so filled with wonder and gratitude as what God has done, that there is no thought of personal need or personal blessings, only total abandonment to God and praise and adoration. I like that sentence. Let's read that again. It is an attitude of the heart that is so filled with wonder and gratitude at what God has done, that there is no thought of personal need or personal blessing, only total abandonment to God and praise and adoration. That is worship. It is the most selfless thing we do. It is, as the hymn writer puts it, to be a lost in wonder, love, and praise. It is to be so grateful and so filled with wonder at what the Lord has done that we lose ourselves in adoring worship, adoring praise. And what better time than this Christmas than we focus on the very giving of Christ, who is our Savior? Worship. Now, in John chapter number 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and the woman at the well tries to distract Jesus from presenting what her need is, and they begin to talk about worship. And Jesus gives these words. He says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him worship in him in spirit and in truth." I like that little phrase. It is a convicting phrase, but it says, the true worshipers shall worship the Father. And here's the definition that's given here is that there, Jesus says that God is seeking for individuals who will be a true worshiper of Jesus Christ. And here's the question, are we truly a worshiper of Jesus Christ this Christmas season? There's many people who worship the trees and many people who worship the decorations, many people who put worthy praise on such things as gifts and such things as mystical characters and such things as just spending time with family. You know, those are all, many of those things are good things. I don't think worshiping mystical characters are good things at all, but having a good time and enjoying the things of Christmas is one thing, but the worship is set aside and is for one purpose, and that is Jesus Christ. You go back to the first Christmas, you see what they're doing. They're praising God. They have understood exactly what is happening and what this birth of this child means, and they stop and they lose themselves in adoration. They do nothing but praise the Lord. You'll see that Simeon doesn't care who hears him. Anna doesn't care. Anna goes around and tells anybody who's looking for redemption in Jerusalem, tells them that the Messiah had come. These dirty, stinking shepherds, you know, that shepherds, they go around and they tell all of Bethlehem. The heavens itself proclaims. It's just amazing that what they do is they worship. These wise men, they travel all these days and all these months just to get there. To do what? To worship him. And that is what the spirit of Christmas is. Well, there is an attack on Christmas. People don't want to hear anything about Christ. They want to call it Xmas. They don't want to have nativity scenes. They want to be reminded. You know, it's just an attack on the fact that the devil does not want Christ's worship at Christmas time. And you look at all these different characters, and what do you have? The true spirit of Christmas for individuals that are experiencing it, it's a spirit of worship. It's a spirit of worship. Do we truly have the spirit of Christmas? Another preacher puts it this way. He talks about how creation praises God. God's creation praises him. The dewdrop, sparkles with his glory. The wildflowers, whose beauty goes unseen and fragrance seems to be wasted, offered the incense of praise that goes towards heaven. Every bird that fills the forest with his sweet singing does so in tribute to the Creator. The deer bounding gracefully through the woods, the stars twinkling like diamonds in the sea of velvet, the glorious sunset where God splashes color across the evening sky. All these wonderful and marvelous things give tribute to our Creator. But there is so much more glory in the incarnation than in creation. That God could make the world out of nothing inspires our appreciation. That God would become man inspires our amazed awe. If we will just sit back and consider what God did, creation demonstrates his power. Incarnation demonstrates his compassion. Now, I want you to understand this, that the world itself, nature itself, praises God. You see the world that's around us. I don't see how someone can believe in evolution. I don't see how someone can say that the world just banged into existence. And I know that's for a whole nother message, but the world itself, the Bible says if you look up in the skies, you'll see God. The wonders of creation praise him. We ourselves, when we consider what he did, we should also praise him too. Now, that's not the only spirit of Christmas. You say, finally, Pastor, you agree with me. There is a spirit of Christmas that's more than worship. There is. And I'd like to go back to that first Christmas just for a few minutes and consider the spirit that Christ had. I mean, because that's what we want to be. We want to be like Jesus Christ. That's what we should strive to be. That is our goal. It's our goal in life should become more and more like his son. The Bible speaks of that. What type of spirit did Christ have? If you didn't like how the characters respond, you didn't like how that worshiping was the most important thing on their heart and mind during the first Christmas season, what about what was Christ's spirit? When you think, what did Jesus Christ do? At Christmas time, it was a spirit of sacrifice. It was a spirit of sacrifice. There's two things. There's a spirit of worship that we should partake in, but as we worship him, we will see the supreme sacrifice that was made for us, the gift that was given to us, and we'll say, we have a reason to worship him, and we will also want to sacrifice, and you say, Pastor, that's me. I do sacrifice at Christmas. I will skip lunch, and I will scrimp, and I will save in order to give my kids a present for Christmas. And you know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I know sometimes people work extra jobs, and people take on try to make extra income to try to provide for things at Christmas time. I don't think there's anything wrong with that as long as that's not the main priority. You know, what was Christ's priority? It was sacrifice, but the sacrifice was to be able to provide eternal life to those that are lost, to all mankind. The sacrifice, if you want to go back to having the real spirit of Christmas, and you want to look at true Christmas spirit, it involves worship, but it also involves sacrifice. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to become a man. The Bible puts it this way. 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, "For ye know the grace," which means our unmerited favor, "of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Man, I don't know about you, but I think that's a wonderful verse. Listen to that again. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, his will was done of every moment, of every second, of every day in heaven, to come to a sin-cursed world where he would be rejected, he would be spat upon, where he would be slapped, where he'd be nailed to an old rugged cross, and he knew it all ahead of time. He took the richness that he had, and it says that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Nothing of lasting significance and importance for God is ever going to be accomplished without great sacrifice. Whether it is our time, our talent, our treasure, or even our lives, we must remember that we can sacrifice the temporary for what is eternal. When we do, we are following the example of Jesus Christ. We are following the true spirit of Christmas, is to be willing to sacrifice the temporary for those things that are eternal. Take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2 is a wonderful passage of scripture that gives you the description of what Jesus Christ did when he came to this world. When we preach through the Philippians, we talk about the 7 steps of humiliation that he experienced and how he went through when he came to this world. The angels were praising God because of his incarnation, because God in the person of Jesus Christ became a man. And this is the spirit of Christmas. Not only is it one of worship, but it is a spirit of sacrifice. Look here in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. And he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You say, "Pastor, you keep on talking about worship, and that was fine for all those Bible characters, but what about us that live in the 21st century? What about us that are living now in time, all the things that are going on?" We should still worship him. The Bible tells us that God is seeking those true worshipers, but also we should be willing to sacrifice. You say, where do you see that at? Well, the Bible says in verse number 5 that this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We should have the same mindset that Christ had. We can have the mind of Christ when it comes to this Christmas spirit. Look what it says in verse number 6. And we see the 7 steps here. We're not going to go through all of them. But it says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal of God." The first step was he left heaven's glory. He who was rich became poor. Why did they do that? For our sake, that we may become rich. He left the glories of heaven and came to this earth to die so we could someday be with him in heaven. Praise the Lord. That is the spirit of Christmas. That is the sacrifice that was made. But he did not stop there. Continue on in verse number 7. "But made himself of no reputation." He didn't come as a great king. He didn't come being well known. He came and he took on no reputation. And look what it says next. "And took upon him the form of a servant." He was willing to sacrifice all the glories of heaven. He was willing to take on the form of a man. He not only just a man, he became of no reputation. Not only did he not have any type of reputation, he became a servant and was made in the likeness of men. You say, "Pastor, what's the big deal about that? Made in the likeness of man." He says, "Me and you are men. Ladies, men, you know, what's the big deal about that?"
Well, see, if you're leaving the glories of heaven and being God and taking on the form of the creature, it's completely different. The glory is of it. He did not lay aside his, he laid aside his glory. He never laid aside his deity. It's sort of like us saying that if we had an ant problem in our house and we were going to become like that ant. He said, that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. But that's what Jesus Christ did. The creator became a creature and he dwelt among us. The word became flesh. And that's what Christmas is all about. It was sacrifice. Now, this is the true meaning of Christmas. And this is not some magical story or some storybook thing or something you watch on TV. You go back to the first Christmas, what do you have? You have a spirit of worship. But you also have a spirit of sacrifice. Keep on going. And you see here, and being found in the fashion of a man. So it wasn't just enough that he made himself of no reputation, that he made himself a servant, that he took on the form of a man. But when he found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself. He didn't even lift himself up. He humbled himself. And he continued to watch as it goes farther and farther and became obedient unto death. He was willing to sacrifice his own life for my sin and for your sin. But not just death. He became obedient unto even the death of the cross. Now, not only was he willing to sacrifice his life, he chose the most cruel form of punishment and the most cruel form of death there was known to mankind. That's what he became obedient to. That's the sacrifice. If you're really looking for a spirit of Christmas, you can throw out all those other things and say, let's go to the Bible. And the spirit of Christmas is wrapped up in these two words. Worship. Worshiping him. Seeing the value, getting lost in what he's done for us. And sacrifice. Now, once again, I'm not trying to rain on anybody's fun. I'm not trying to be a Scrooge. You know that that I give gifts. We have decorations out around us. But that's not what Christmas is all about. That is not the spirit of Christmas. We go back and we look at what the spirit of Christmas is. It's worship. Do you have the spirit of Christmas this year? It's sacrifice. Do you have the spirit of Christmas this year? Say, Pastor, why in the world would God have to sacrifice like that? Well, the Bible, we read it earlier in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, was a story, the message that the angel gave to the shepherds. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This is a great message for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. See, Jesus Christ, what he did when he left the glories of heaven and when he did those different seven steps and he was willing to lower himself all the way to where he became obedient even unto death. He was a servant. He was humbled. He took on the likeness of man. He did all those things to become our Savior. And this was the message that they gave. The angel says, look, don't be afraid. I got good news for you. And those shepherds, they were fearful when they saw that angel that appeared unto them. He says, look, you don't have anything to worry about. I'm not going to cast judgment on you. I don't have bad news. I have good news. And they couldn't contain themselves. And he says, it's good tidings of great joy. He says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. See, that's what the spirit of Christmas is about, was the sacrifice that was made was because the Savior came. And you say, a Savior, what do I need to be saved from? The Bible says that when the angel was talking to Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We need to be saved from our sins. The Bible teaches us this is the whole story of Christmas. This is the reason why he came, was not just to be that babe in the manger so we could give presents to everybody else. He came so he could die for our sins because our sins have made us poor. Our sins have cast judgment upon us. And because of our sins, we are lost and dying and on our way to a horrible place called hell. And Jesus Christ, God the Father, saw this. And God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He sent his son down because of our sin debt that we could not pay ourselves. That sin that we have, that sin that we mess with, that sin we play around with is the whole reason why Jesus Christ had to die. And that's the reason why he came. He sacrificed himself for us. And I know that we do sacrifice when it comes to Christmas time. But do we really sacrifice for the same cause and for the same purpose? Jesus Christ sacrificed for us because we had a great need. And if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, I know you can't understand the spirit of Christmas until you understand the reality of what Jesus Christ did. He left heaven to die for your sins. Your sins. And I believe if you were the only one on earth that would get saved, he would still die for your sins. Your sins caused him to go to that cross. And we praise him for that. He sacrificed. This is what we get lost in the worship. And we understand that he came. And because he came, I can now go to heaven. And the Bible says that you have to see yourself as a sinner, knowing that your sin has a great penalty to it. That lost without him, you die and go to hell. But the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've never been saved, never become a Christian before, this is what Christmas was about. This is why we celebrate. This is why we fight this attack on Christmas, because of the fact what it represents. It represents that Jesus Christ came, and he came to die for us. That's what we celebrate. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved. You can be saved from your sins. You can be saved from your penalty of sin. You can go to heaven. Once you recognize and repent of your sins and cry out to God. And if you're here this morning and you've done that, you realize that Jesus Christ, who was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. That through his poverty, we might be rich. We know that. And because of that, that's what we get lost in. That's why we celebrate Christmas. So when I hear people talk about Christmas spirit, sometimes it makes me cringe a little bit, because I know what the world calls Christmas spirit today. Someone who could be cheerful, or someone who could be overly this or overly that. But thinking about it, according to the first Christmas story, Christmas spirit is all wrapped up in worshiping. And if we want to go even deeper, our worship is the one who was willing to sacrifice. I got a story here. You're going to say, Pastor, that's a kind of weird story because it doesn't deal with anything with Christmas. But I think it contains the entire Christmas idea of the spirit of Christmas. In January of 1956, Jim Elliot and four other missionaries gave their lives in Ecuador in their effort to reach the Wadona Indians. This fierce group was known to attack any outsiders, but the vision for reaching them with the gospel compelled these young men to take the risk. Not long after they had set up camp near the Indian village, they were attacked by the warriors. Refusing to defend their lives with force, the missionaries were killed. The news flashed around the world, and a story of courage and sacrifice challenged many to take up the missionary cause. Even today's Elliot's words live on. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. In a very real sense, Jim Elliot and his missionary friends were living the spirit of Christmas. Say, how can that be the spirit of Christmas? Because they were willing to sacrifice themselves for the greater cause, the cause of Jesus Christ. They could have fought off the Indians by harming them, but they chose. And because of that, these Indians were reached. They were willing to give up the comforts of home and promising careers to ultimately lay down their lives to take the gospel to those who had never heard. They could have fought back to defend themselves, but they chose not. That reminds you of the story of what Jesus Christ could have done. He could have fought back. He could have called 10,000 angels. He didn't even have to fight himself. He could have just said a word, but he chose not to. Why? So that we may be rich, so that we may know him. We have a lot to celebrate. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot that we can think about and meditate on. That's what celebrating Christmas is about. The spirit of Christmas. Let's remember, way back when, past all the commercialism, it was all about worshiping him. And I'm not talking about a false worship. Herod wanted to come false worshiping him. And I'm scared or nervous about many Christians today that under the guise and the name of worship, they miss the whole point. They don't spend time. They don't take time to meditate and praise the Lord this year. Because when we understand the spirit of Christmas is worship, we will see that the spirit of Christmas really involves sacrifice. And that we will look past ourselves to further the cause of Christ. This morning, if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, let me plead with you to get that settled today. Jesus Christ left all that and came here for you. And he wants to see you saved. And if you're here today and you are a Christian, let us consider what the spirit of Christmas really is. And like I said, it's not throwing away out all your traditions and the things you enjoy, because those are portions of being thankful for the things that you have. And you can show appreciation for the people that do things for you, and you appreciate them. It's a good time that all those gifts you give began with God giving the greatest gift. And that's, I mean, all those people that are giving gifts on Christmas Day, even if they're atheists, they're doing it based off of the fact that God gave us a gift. I mean, that's what the giving of gifts, that's where it began. And then the wise men gave a gift back. It is celebrating Christmas, whether they know it or not. But let's worship Christ this year. And you know what? You get rid of those last three letters off of Christmas, and it's the spirit of Christ. That's what we want. We want to have the spirit of Christ, don't we? And if the spirit of Christ was sacrifice, that's what we need to shoot for also. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, with heads bowed and eyes closed, for a time of invitation. I don't know how God has spoken to your heart, but I do pray that if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, that in just a second we're going to have an invitation. An invitation is when if people would like to come to the altar and pray, we give them that opportunity. And I am going to be down front. And if you're not a Christian here this morning but would like to know more about how you could become a Christian, let me encourage you to come, and I'll have somebody take a Bible and teach you and show you how you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if you die today, that you go to heaven. That's what Jesus Christ sacrificed for, so you could have that available to you. And Christians, let's really have the spirit of Christmas. Let's worship him. Let us be willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this first Christmas story. Lord, I know people are sometimes confused or mixed up what the true Christmas spirit is. I know some people might even disagree with me. But when we go back and we look at the Bible and be biblical people, we see the characters that had an understanding of who Jesus Christ was. And all they did was get lost in the excitement of what God was doing for them. And they worshiped. Lord, thank you for the spirit of worship. Lord, thank you for the spirit of sacrifice, which your son was willing to do for us. Lord, I ask that you speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.